In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Does anyone like to be criticized? I think that that word carries a bad connotation for all of us when we at least initially hear it. But criticism like this is something that we really tend to shy away from. And yet, you know, you need it. Without it, you would only go more hastily to your demise. And you probably wouldn't be here today, in fact. Just ask your husband or your wife. Without criticism, there wouldn't be any community, any society. There would only be a bunch of blind people leading the blind stubbornly, all going off in their own way, however long that could last. So we need criticism. And yet we know it just can't be criticism alone. Now, to think of the word and what it visibly pictures, the word to criticize is used, it's synonymous with the word that our Lord used today, the word judge. In fact, the very beginning of that word has the same Greek root word. It comes from the same Greek root word, and criticism basically means judging, but it also means to give the picture of cutting. The schism at the end of the word, think of the word scissors. We tend to cut some things in bits and pieces so that we can distinguish them. But we do that in hope that we can allow greater things to be built and flourished as those things are judged, as they are criticized, taken apart, so we can have the better picture of things, so better things can ultimately flourish. We get the picture of this all the time. In fact, with for example, right as you are coming out of the womb, somebody did some criticism on the umbilical cord. They cut it, and they cut the cord, as we say. Or we also hear of surgeons, or maybe you in school, you had to dissect an animal. You cut it open so that you can see how the inner workings of the body work together and apply that knowledge for greater use. Even more critically than a surgeon, we heard our Lord today use the phrase that has been very blindly treated by many who used to be Christian, and there's a reason why they are no more. I'm talking about that phrase, do not judge. And so many who have heard this, they have ended up going off and trying to not judge anyone, but like this, it just does not work. If you try to not judge anyone or anything, you make that your chief principle guiding for all of life, you will end up thinking that you are better than other people. And there you just made a judgment. It just does not work. But we need to judge how our Lord Jesus is using this phrase and what he said before and after so that we know what he is talking about. We need to judge, we need to discern the voice of our shepherd from strangers who might be parroting a lot of similar words, but they mean totally different things. In fact, if you weren't listening, just after Jesus told us not to judge, he also gave the very visual illustration of judging and telling us to do that. There are certain blind people. There are also people who need to have a log taken out of their eye. There, he did a judgment. But we... Our Lord is telling us to do this discerningly. The Lord does not want people walking around with 2x4s projecting from their heads. No, if your neighbor has that happening, by all means, tell him that problem. He needs it to be fixed, as the Lord knows is good for him. Unfortunately, though, I think we've often done something like this. We've often said, I don't want to go around that person who is very judgmental, and we end up being very silent. We extract ourselves away from them. But that's not what Jesus wants either. Rather, he wants us to pray for those who have offended us, to seek reconciliation in a kind and gentle and lawful manner, to seek healing. And maybe it does take some wisdom and courage to approach them, but by his word and spirit, he will give us that wisdom, that encouragement, and that guidance so that we can do it. Jesus came, in fact, to judge, you see. But before that, he came alongside of us, speaking with us. And in doing so, he was keeping all the judgments of the law, upholding it fully. And yet, he was going to lay down his life to bear the sins of we who had offended him. He went right to the grave to encourage our reconciliation. And he bore our sins effectively in his body on the tree by his blood so that we could receive his reconciliation. And therefore, we now live new lives seeking the same restoration, all under Jesus. That was Jesus' intent right from the beginning, and that was the Father's intent in sending him. Today we heard our Lord preaching this. This was before his death and resurrection, but it was in anticipation of that and confident faith. Because, if you remember, the Father had just judged Jesus. In fact, when he was baptized, there we saw the heavens open, and you had the verdict, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father was pleased with him, and so we look to him, who we know gives us a good judgment. And this is why we so love and trust in our Lord Jesus. It's why we come to hear him in church. Here in church, the Lord gives the word and the sacrament, the means that he's given, so that on judgment day, you can have perfect peace. We're getting judgment day over early when we come in repentant faith to hear the word of forgiveness reaffirmed to us. When people don't hear Jesus, when they don't come to where he gives the means of grace and tells us to gather regularly, what ends up happening instead is they go home and they think that God is going to judge them according to how I think of me or how my friends think of me. But that's not what Jesus says. We trust the word of his judgment so that we don't go off in our own way. We want to hear our shepherd's voice right to the grave and know that he is Lord over all things, all circumstances. This is a lot like why we go to doctors for healing rather than just going to somebody off the street or on the internet. Your doctor knows you. He sees the bigger picture. He's able to make better judgments in the specific situation that you are in. He knows your history, and he is supposed to be minded to putting you back together. And chances are you're going to see him again. A stranger, could make judgments, but his judgments, his criticism, would not see the bigger picture so well. He could end up doing greater damage, and there could be inadequate healing, making us worse, and he's probably not going to walk us through the healing. This is why we go to parents for learning rather than strangers too. Christian parents and teachers will make judgments, but with the intent of greater health and healing and reconciliation so that all things keep together and work in a wonderful order, seeking the reconciliation of more people in the world. That parents raise up godly children so they can work for all society's welfare and reconciliation. Of course, usually, as it goes, though, when people do not hear Jesus in the unbelieving world, it becomes a disaster. The internet and social media provide a microcosm for this. The way it typically works with the internet, and yes, here Pastor goes off about the internet again, but really, just the forum itself isn't into what we call in the Eighth Commandment, in the old translation, putting the best construction on things. It's not really conducive for that is because with the internet, a lot of people are trying to show off how well, how keen they can make judgments of this or that situation. And when you're into just making judgments and you don't know where those judgments are coming from or where they're hearing this bit of information because time and space are divided, well, we really don't know what we're seeing, and therefore it's hard to construct anything. But the internet works to make a very fast and quick judgments and looks for the near term, and it doesn't allow greater things to be built long term, the things that will endure. And so it can be a forum that really is not good for seeking reconciliation. This is why face-to-face interaction is better. If we don't have the gospel, we don't have understanding in this, the gospel which shows our loving Father and Savior, we will tend to only see words of law, and we will make judgments, and we will fall into putting ourselves in the judge's seat, rather than commending ourselves to the one who judges justly. We could easily fall into doing the opposite of what God intends, and rather, while his law does show us guilty, while it does parse and separate every part, it's with the intent to justify, to reconcile, and to renew all in the new life of faith, to be with him for eternity. We saw this example in the Old Testament today with an Old Testament saint who did likewise. There was Joseph with his brothers, and this proved to be a very critical time in the history of God's people, and it wonderfully worked for their blessing rather than how it could have gone. You know, it could have happened here after Jacob's death when Joseph is second ruler of the most powerful nation on earth at the time, that he could have looked at his brothers and thought, how can I take vengeance on them? What can I gain from them? Because Joseph was in the business of judging, he wanted his nation, Egypt in this case, to be doing very well. He could have exploited it for all he knew. But because Joseph was trusting in the Lord and daily commending himself to the Lord's judgment and looking for the promised Savior, the promise that had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the Messiah who would come, Joseph was commending himself to Christ daily. That is why he sought to judge his brothers favorably and to speak kindly to them, because he knew the Lord who rules over all things. But he wanted to be right with the Messiah most of all. He knew that he could do nothing if it was apart from God. And even so, this worked wonderfully for the Israelites' blessing. They became a nation who endured even through the harsh treatment in Egypt, but still anticipating the promised Messiah, and God delivered them all in due time. This way of acting discerningly yet generously, knowing that it's the Lord who judges all things, this is how we should train ourselves as Christians in all aspects of life. Even as we have been forgiven, we seek to be not so quick to judgment, but to seek to reconcile all people. And once you do it in a matter that can be very difficult, it becomes easier to do it again. Because you know and you will see the wonderful blessings that come out of it when you don't act in haste, but instead you seek to reconcile for God's sake in Christ. Keep in mind, the Lord is not calling us to total passivity here. Love acknowledges and discerns, and it upholds the lines and the times and the limits that God has set in place, and it works with those limits. The faithful Christian doesn't want to transgress his Lord or his neighbor. He wants civil peace. But true love seeks to promote and uphold the good things that God makes and does and gives within the lines that he has built into creation and with his commandments. Notice that Jesus speaks today, for example, about giving in good measure. Now, this indeed means that he knows that there are certain measurements, measuring lines. We don't throw out all lines, but we keep measurements common in our daily civic life so that we know how we can reach common understanding, and so that each one receives his due. If I sold you a pound of ground beef, you're going to get a pound of ground beef, but even more so, if I'm thinking in light of what the Lord encourages me to, if I have extra, I might throw a little bit more onto it. Like this way, we show that we aren't looking to pick apart at everything, but rather we want the Lord's mercy and generosity to be showing through us, so that good measure will be overflowing into our lap. And it's not about our personal gain. It's about the glory and the glory of God in Christ Jesus and the good of all. After all, he did more than fulfill the law for us. And so we seek to show likewise as the Lord works through us as we live by faith. Sons of God want the Lord's name to be hallowed, his kingdom to come, his kingdom to expand, and his good will to be done. And there is joy when things like this happen. He is the only God who can show mercy, and he has when he poured out his Son, as well as many daily provisions, despite what we deserve. And it's only as the word of this flourishes among us and is done indeed that we get spared from what would otherwise be a very hellish world, always seeking to hold on to what is vanishing. But even so, may our actions prove faithful and fruitful and reveal which side of the judgment we are on. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.